A shadow is a dark figure cast upon a surface by a body intercepting the rays from a source of light. Pretty simple science. I'll repeat it for those of you that flunked. A shadow is a dark figure cast upon a surface by a body intercepting the rays from the source of light. Or it's a partial darkness or obscurity within a part of space from which rays from a source of light are cut off by an interposed opaque body, whatever that means. Part of the definition, this is from Merriam-Webster, an inseparable companion or follower. Well, we have the light of the Lord, but there's a shadow that creeped in. It creeped in the first bite of whatever fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A shadow crept into the Garden of Eden. And ever since Cain killed Abel, the human race has had to deal with the shadow cast upon them, and it's called the shadow of death. It is a horror of death's pale upon all mankind. There's really only two things we fear: change and death. All right? Everything else is pretty easy. But if you ask us to change, it's a fearful thing. And if we look at death, it seems to be this cloud, this shadow. I look at him through the scripture. I don't know what shadows came to me. And I started to research it. And this valley of the shadow of death. You know who spoke most about it in the Bible? Job. If you go in Job, he talks about this shadow of death all the time when he's going through his misery. And my goodness, misery is hardly the word for it. And God had blessed him so much, and he was put to the test, and he looked more forward to death than he did life. But a lot of this shadow of death that hangs over everybody, and it's the fear of all fears. It is the dread of dreads, facing the end. And thank God, yet the Lord has shined a light in the midst of this gloom, this shadowy, the shadowy figure with a scythe in his hand. It is coming for every one of us whenever our time is up and all of that kind of stuff. But it's real. It's real. We go to the doctor because we don't want to die. That's why we go, by the way, if you're wondering. Or at least we don't want to suffer. I'm one of the slowest people to go in that direction, but even I went this week. Well, I didn't go all the way. I just went to urgent care. I resisted. My wife is yelling at me because I won't go. And she said it had to get a little nasty. Most of us don't want to die. And this pall hangs over us. And I've talked to a lot of people just before they breathe their last, even good Christian people. And there's this, like, we've never been there before. And so we don't know what to expect. But thank God for Isaiah chapter 9. You really need to read the whole chapter, but I'll give you little pieces of it. Isaiah 9:2, the people that walked in darkness. Listen, before Jesus, we walk in darkness. There is no other way to do it. You can have all the lights of Las Vegas and you still walk in darkness. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, and that is everyone, upon them hath the light shined. Hallelujah. What is this light? A few verses down in verse 6, we're all familiar with. Here comes the light. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government there should, and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon the kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. A light in the midst of the shadows of darkness, a light has shined. It's the glorious light of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And for those that believe, though we still walk through valleys, it does not dominate us any longer because we know that there is a light for us. The psalmist knew it right well. David, the great psalmist, knew it right well when he wrote in Psalm chapter 23 and verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You need to underline that. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. And you are bigger than any mountain. You are bigger than any problem. You are bigger than any question. You are bigger than anything. And Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Don't you want to live there instead of under the pale? Well, that isn't the end of the story, obviously. It's the beginning. Because we have to live in this world. To take a phrase from a movie, it's good and bad and ugly. And mostly, it's bad and ugly. Not many people have had it easy. We're just trials, situations. When you're young, there's trials and situations. Usually when we're young, we don't quite have enough money to do what we need to do. When we're old, we're not well enough to spend it. I'm starting to learn stuff like that. Listen, you can go through the trials of this life on your own, or you can find the right shadow to dwell under. You can, if you want to do it on your own, you get to dwell under the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. But there's another shadow I want to talk about today that you and I have the choice to live under. Once again, the psalmist shows us the way. It's the 91st Psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Find it. I'm reading out of King James. Find that verse. We're going to read it together. I want you to hear your mouth say it to your ears. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He was a pastor at that time, Pastor Terry Green. He became an evangelist later. He's our evangelist, and he'll be with us again this September. But sometime in his life, the Lord says you need to memorize Psalm 91. And then I want you to say it every day when you get up. And it was great. Brother Terry took over a church that was ready to close. I mean, they had no people. They didn't have much of a building, all wore down. Everybody had left. It was nothing. Nothing was going on. And yet the Lord called. His dad was pastoring over here. His dad wanted him to take the church, his church over. He says, "No, Dad, I think the Lord's called me over here." He says, "Yeah, but there's nothing over there." He says, "There's nothing over here yet, but the Lord's called me here." And God blessed him greatly. Grew a wonderful church. A big church. God's blessing was upon his ministry. And he's traveling down the road one day. And he's saying Psalm 91. And out of nowhere, a car hits them, he and his wife, Tina, head on. And terrible injuries took place. Busted his face. It's the best way I can describe it. From here to here, everything was busted. All his orbital bones, everything, his jaw bones, everything was smashed. And yet he maintained his consciousness. And through circumstances, he finally got to the hospital. The hospital didn't do him quite right. Left him in misery. Left him alone for more than 24 hours. That's when Psalm 91 becomes very personal and very real. Over the next course of months, they did many surgeries on his face. And he'll tell you today, he still has some effects of that. But he said, Psalm 91 still, I said, I decided to live under the shadow of the Almighty in the midst. And you really need to read the whole Psalm 91. He says, but in the midst of that, I could feel that I still dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Not too much longer after that, the doctor came out and gave him the great news. You have cancer, sir. Cancer. I'm a healthy man. What do you mean, cancer? You have cancer. It's in your lower GI. And you're going to have to go through stuff. Here's a man that believes in divine healing and praying. He said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord says, you go through chemotherapy and I'll be with you. You'll abide under the shadow of my wing. And so Brother Terry went to, and he said, all right, if I'm going to cancer therapy and other people are going to be there, I'm going to minister to be. I'm going to become the minister of the chemotherapy group. And everybody's got their arm out getting their poison. And he's walking around giving them these little coins that are going to make it. You're going to make it. We'll be praying for you and all of this. And after months of this, Terry comes through. And he doesn't have cancer anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He chose that I'm going to live under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you do that? Listen, don't read Scripture too fast. First, you have to know where the secret place is. There has to be a secret place where you can get alone. Let me tell you, everybody needs a secret place where it's just you and God. It's not you and your wife and God. It's not you and your kids and God. It's not you and your pastor and God. It's just you and God. There is a secret place that He has for you, and it may not be a physical place, but there is this time where it's just you and He. If you neglect it, it will be very difficult for you to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There is a secret place where we pray, where we read His Word, where we fellowship with Him, where we unload our burdens. There is the secret place, and He is waiting for us at that secret place. There is a Garden of Gethsemane for every person in this room. There is a place that we can go and say, oh God, not my will, but Thine be done. Have Your way, and I trust You to keep me under the shadow of Your wing, that everything's going to be all right. It was about this time that I met Brother Terry at an Acts 6:4 contest. We had prayed for his healing. Linda Slane at the time, Jim and Linda Slane, she's O'Quinn now. They had gone to his church there in Missouri. And she said, our pastor is hurting with cancer. Would you pray? And this church prayed for him before we knew him. But I met him at Acts 6:4, and we talked, and I met his wife, Tina. And it wasn't too long after that when they got the news. Now Tina had cancer. A terrible thing. He had just survived it, and now she's going through treatment. And it's not going well. And Tina's treatment, she didn't react well to it. She's going down, down, down. Oh, God. And Terry, every morning he gets up. Hallelujah. He that dwelleth in the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place. My wife is dying. He that dwelleth. I'm still going to be under your shadow. I'm going to trust you. That you're my refuge and you're my fortress. You're going to protect me through this. And soon Tina passes away. His wife, who raised two children with him, two girls with him, is gone. How can you say, how can you quote Psalm 91 and go through all of that? How can you know? But in the midst of all the troubles, friends, there is a shadow that keeps you in strength, that keeps you from going crazy. It keeps you from fleeing full of fear and saying, I'll get up in the morning and I'll quote Psalm 91 because God never changes. Whatever happens to me, God doesn't change. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 for the believer is worth quoting. It's worth finding. Listen, your life, I can't guarantee you a bed of roses. But I can guarantee you a God that will go through that bed of roses or bed of thorns, whatever it is. I can guarantee you He'll go through with you. So you don't have to fear any evil. Hallelujah. But friends, if you refuse to find a secret place with God, you're going to sort of be on your own. If there is ever time to be close to Jesus, it is right now. Calamity might be all around us, but we have a refuge. Hear me today. We have a refuge. Get there. It is July 26, 2026. You have been warned and you have been told. Get a secret place with God so you know for sure you're abiding under His wing, the shadow of His wing. He's shadowing you. He's taking care of you. He's protecting you. Even in the midst of your wife dying, God is faithful. That's what you're going to find out. Outside the shadow of the Lord is great danger and loss. Psalm 91. Terry says, oh, I say it every day. He says, I don't care if I feel like saying it. I say it anyway. I don't care if my jaw is hurting that day or not. I'm going to say it anyway. Doesn't matter whether my wife's alive or dead. I'm going to say it anyway. Because I believe that God's plan is perfect for me. He opened the door. Can you believe this? He opened the door. Mary Beth came back into his life. They went to the same high school together, and he got married, as you well know. You all met Mary Beth. They got married, and she had a home in Kansas City. He's a country boy, and so he had a place in the country and Lake of the Ozark and all of that, and so forth. And they decided they didn't want to have two homes anymore. Mary Beth sold her house in Kansas City, and now they're living here. Now, the devil raises up evil people around them. It's almost amazing. Let me tell you, the devil hates you. He wants to bring you down. He wants to destroy you. He wants that you ought to hear the word of the Lord today. God's not going to let him bring destruction. But out of no fault of his own, Terry had been at this place for many years. And because it is a mobile home park, you don't own the soil. You own what's on top of the soil. Through no fault of his own, some wicked people came against him for no reason. He wasn't even preaching to them. But for no reason, wicked people came against them. And the guy that owned the soil kicked Terry off. He gave him a few days to get off. Terry had to walk away from his home. He had to leave everything there. He and Mary Beth went somewhere Some had to go someplace else. And every day, Terry gets up and quotes Psalm 91. You say, Pastor, you're not giving me much, like this is a good thing. Well, let me tell you what would happen to him had he not dwelt under that great wing of the shadow of Almighty God. He would have been destroyed the first time around. He would have died from the injuries in the car accident. He would have died from cancer and left the whole family a mess. He wouldn't have made it through his wife's passing on to be with Jesus. Her last words to him said, Terry, it's all right. I'm headed home. I'm ready to go. He wouldn't have made it through all this nonsense. And yet God is not only with us, He is going to bring us through to victory. Because people that dwell in that secret place, God has only one place for you, and that is to go up. It doesn't matter. Your circumstances are not the big thing with God. It is what He wants to produce in me. And the only way He can produce in me what He wants to is for me to dwell under the shadow of His wing. If you got ideas for yourself, quit them. Burn them. Burn them to the ground. Don't do it your way. Do it His way. I heard a young man say to me, God let me down. He didn't get the results he wanted. God let me down. And so I'm going to forget Him. And that's a fool thing to say and to do. Just because you don't go where you think you want. God knows best. I don't know if Jesus really wanted to go to that cross or not, but He knew that His Father knew best. And He said, not my will, but thine be done. I want Your will accomplished in my life, but I want to go through this life beneath Your shadow. I don't want to go through it with the shadow of death. I'm not going to live that way because, listen, you don't have to be afraid. Can I tell you something right now? You do not have to be afraid of death. If you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, you don't have to ever fear your last breath here. Because your last breath here is your first breath in a much, much better place. It's real. I'm not doing that to tickle your ears. It's real and it's true. The believer in Jesus Christ, I don't know. Jesus said, he that believeth in me shall never die. We just move on. What time is it? All right. I got time for the third point. Because there's one more shadow I want to talk to you about. You got the shadow of death that we don't have to live under. We got the shadow of the wing of Almighty God whose wing is so big. He covers everything. Hallelujah. It is a wing of protection. Hallelujah. Look to Him. I'm tired, even including myself, of getting discouraged because of life, because of circumstances that surround my life. You and I do not have to be discouraged anymore. We're under the wing of the Almighty. Regardless of what they decide in Washington, D.C. There's one more shadow. You see, a whole mess of things became possible at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of them is the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Jesus says, one of the reasons I'm going away so is so I can send the Holy Ghost. So that not only we can dwell in His shadow, but the glory of God always had to be shadowed or kept apart from man. You remember all the stories. The glory of God would come into the tabernacle or the temple, and the priest could not go in there minister because of the glory of God and all of that. We cannot handle the great glory of God until Jesus' death and resurrection. Then, and He sent the Holy Ghost, the glory of God could come into mankind. It is one of the most amazing things. Don't ever tell me to quit preaching about it. It is as awesome a thing as you can possibly think. Jesus felt so, so wonderful about it. He says, I'm glad to go away so you can get this. Now the glory of God does not have to be hidden from man. Those that are cleansed by the blood of Jesus can be filled with His glory. I said you can. I don't know if you will be, but you can be. You can be filled with that glory. The fullness of the Spirit of the Lord. Sometimes I do stupid stuff like watch programs like how they catch international smugglers of drugs. And they catch them at airports and you watch. And I look at these people. And they've ingested cocaine packets or they've hid cocaine away. And there's almost always it's cocaine. It's cocaine in their suitcases. And they're trying to smuggle it in. Da, 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 da. And I'm thinking, why? Why are they... The ultimate reason why they're doing that is that someone on the other end can sell that cocaine so somebody can get high for a minute or two and feel good about their lives. All of this trouble, all of this money for something that the Lord gives us free of charge. There's no cocaine high that you can have. There's no crystal meth high you can have that can equate with being filled with the Spirit of God. It is the dunamis of God that Jesus told His disciples to wait. You say, Pastor, what are you talking? What does this have to do with a shadow? Everything changes. Acts chapter 2 changed everything. Everything. Because then it ceases to be just a religion. It's a life-altering way to live. Hallelujah. Old things pass away. All things become new. It is a power, the dunamis of God, that the Satan cannot resist. He does not have a matching power. It isn't. It's not like... Remember the Cold War? And they did all of these things. What was that little movie they made about thermonuclear, global thermonuclear war, and the kid had a little modem? War Games. And they showed in all of the practice that we would just kill everybody. Everybody would be dead and there would be nothing left. It's not like that, my friends. When you have the Spirit of God, Satan has no weapon to succeed against the Spirit of the living God in me. He can do all kinds of things. He could try to hit me in the car. He could hit me at home. Whatever. But he cannot succeed because I have the Spirit of the Lord. There's no power to resist this. We have much talk about being Spirit-filled. The question is, are we really Spirit-filled or not? Or are we sort of, kind of, Spirit-filled when we want to be? Let me tell you, if you dwell in the secret place with God, He'll lead you to being filled with the Spirit. Because that's what He wants. For every believer, He wants it for every one of us. I'm not saying what I'm about to read should take place. I am saying it could take place. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, Spirit-filled people. These are Spirit-filled people. Acts 5:12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. This, what precedes this is the death of two people that tried to fool the Holy Ghost. And then this is the result. God began to move powerfully. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets. Could you picture this for a minute? People dragging their loved ones out into the street. Some are maimed, some are blind, some are deaf. Some have cancers they don't know about, some have leprosy. And they begin to drag them out. I don't know what the hospital situation was in those days. But they began to drag people out into the street. And they laid them on beds and couches, almost like a parade. Are you there? That at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Yeah, it went quiet. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. The shadow of Peter? The shadow of Peter? He walks down Main Street at noon, and these people are like a parade sighted, and his shadow passes over them, and the lame guy gets up, and the blind guy sees, and the deaf person hears? Are you kidding me? I don't see anywhere in the gospel where Jesus did that. The lepers were cleansed. I see a shadow right here. You're right. Just the shadow of who's Peter? Didn't he deny Christ three times? Who's this Peter fella that just his shadow going across someone that was in the hospital? Someone with a blood disease. And as his shadow passes over them, life comes into their body and they are delivered. People bring a man in chains and lame, so the shadow, and when Peter's shadow goes over them, the man is delivered from the demons that have tortured him for so many years. What? Oh, and you think you're Spirit-filled. And I think I'm Spirit-filled. Well, let me ask you a final question today. What happens when your shadow passes over somebody? That was a hard one to say. Peter's nothing. It is the Spirit that is within Peter. The glory of God has come to man. It's better than being delivered from the shadow of death. It's even better than being under the shadow of the Almighty. He has put the glory of God in everyone that will receive Him. He has put the glory of God inside of us so we can do the works of Jesus by the Spirit of God. That wherever my shadow goes, it's better than when I got before I got there. What does your shadow leave behind? I was waiting on the Lord for this third point. And when He gave it to me, I was like, yeah, that's not going to go. That is not, people are going to be walking down the street expecting people to get healed on it. Well, let me tell you, if you're Holy Ghost filled and He says to go ahead and do that, why don't you just go ahead and do it? Oh, but we'd make the mistake and think it was you. And we'd hold you up like, ooh, this great healing person. Listen, no man heals people. Amen. Healing virtue flows from heaven. Amen. All right? If He uses you, thank God. But don't ever get ahead. Don't get somebody like, look at my shadow. I'm surprised some televangelist hasn't picked up on this. If they're listening to me, one of them will be like, you don't have to have the fake if you've got the real. Come, Tim, please. Today you might live under the shadow of death and you don't have to. Today you might be worried about your future and you don't have to. You merely need to find that secret place. Listen, if you don't want to be afraid of death, you've got to get right with God. And Jesus made it about as easy as you could make it. You confess your sin. Confess your sin. Repent of same sin. And He will abundantly pardon. I said He'll abundantly pardon. You're in the midst of a fiery trial. Understand Psalm 91 is for you. Psalm 23:4 is you. Though I'm in deep trial, I determine to live under the shadow of the Almighty. And of course, thirdly, what kind of shadow is coming off of my being? Is it the glory of selfishness? Self-righteousness? Nothing? Or when I walk out into the street, when I'm standing in the grocery line, does my shadow reflect the goodness of God, the glory of Him? Is there something in me that shines so bright that when something gets in the way of that shadow, people can feel it, people can know it? Oh God, this morning I just open our altars. If that's you in any of those cases, maybe you need to be reassured that you're under the wing of the Almighty. Maybe you've ignored the secret place. And now you're facing a worrisome future. I tell you, start today. Go back to the secret place. Just you and the Lord. He's merciful. He's kind. He will help you. If you stand here this morning with fear in your heart, please come to the secret place so that you can be assured who is your refuge and your fortress in the midst of this trial. If the Holy Spirit is calling you to be more than you've been, to reflect the glory of God with greater intensity. In this dark world, we've never needed true light more than we've needed it right now in this generation. It is so dark. There is such evil seems to prevail that He needs someone full of the Holy Ghost to walk down the street. Hallelujah. Tim's playing a song. I'm not going to wait for long. I'm going to open these altars right now. If any of those things, you need to get right with God. You need to walk out of the shadow of death. Whatever the case might be, you just come to this altar. Make this a secret place right now between you and the Lord. Come, don't wait for somebody else. If the Holy Spirit is calling you, don't look around and see if anybody else, maybe nobody else would come, but if He's speaking to you,
Jesus.